Shir in Lekutei Siches. We are learning volume 13, Chelik Yud Gimel, the first Sicha for Pashas Koirach. This is the Sicha on a Rashi. In order to understand the Rashi and the Postik which it addresses, we need to backtrack and look at the background of the Pasuk. The Parsha, at least half of it, deals with the rebellion of Korach against Moshe and Aharon. His argument that Moshe Rabbeinu seized power for himself and his family, and that Aharon HaKohen was wrongfully appointed as Kohen Godel. He accused Moshe of nepotism. And he didn't just accuse, but he raised a revolt against Moshe and Aaron. So Moshe Rabbeinu first tries to appease Korach, who appeared on the scene together with three co-conspirators, Dothan, Aviram, and Oin, son of Peleth, all three from the tribe of Reuben. And Moshe Rabbeinu said to Korach, you know, Hashem chose you of the tribe of Levi above all the other tribes. You are those who serve him in the Mishkan. Is that not enough for you? Must you also reach for Kahuna? But they weren't mollified, and they pressed on with their demands. The Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, we're going to have a test. Take the 250 heads of the tribes who you have gathered in order to protest against me, against Moshe. Let each one take a pan with coals. Each one of them will put incense, ketores, on the coals and offer it up before Hashem, whoever Hashem chooses. He is the Holy One. So that test would take place the next morning. In the interim, Moshe Rabbeinu sent for Dothan and Aviram. Oin ben Peleth had pulled out by that time. He sent for Dothan and Aviram in order to make peace. And he asked them to come to talk to him, to Moshe, but they refused to come, and they answered with great chutzpah, is it not enough for you, Moshe Rabbeinu, that you took us out of a land flowing with milk and honey, namely Egypt, to die in the desert? Is that not enough for you? Must you lord it over us on top of that too? So, Moshe Rabbeinu is extremely upset, and he tells Korach and his people to perform the test. But while all this is going on, Korach goes around to the entire congregation, raising more and more people to join him in his revolt against Moshe. Finally, a large crowd assembles outside the Mishkan, together with the 250 who are about to offer the ketores in the morning. And suddenly Hashem appears. And that is where our pasuk comes in right after Shlishi. Hashem speaks to Moshe and to Aaron, saying, separate yourself from this wicked congregation, and I will destroy them in a moment. So Moshe and Aaron fall upon their faces in supplication, and they say to Hashem, and here's the postik which Rashi addresses. Kael, God, Elokei Haruchos L'chol Bosor, who's the God of, now this is what Rashi is about, but I'll translate it simply, you're the God of the Spirit of all flesh. Ho'ish echod yecheto, will one man sin Ba'al kolo eido tikstoy, and you will be wroth, you'll be angry with the entire congregation. That's the posuk. Now there are two rashis on this posuk. The first one on the words keil elekei horuchois. God, the God of spirits. So Rashi explains it, not spirits, but yodea machashovois. You know a person's thoughts. Ein midos chokimidas boser vodom. Your way is not like the way of flesh and blood. Melech boser vodom shesor cholov miktas medino. A mortal, a human king, against whom a part of his country or province acted badly. The word sorcho actually means a foul smell, and it's used in the sense of a bad behavior. So, a human king against whom some of the populace acted badly, they didn't respect him. He doesn't know who the sinner is. Lefichach, therefore, because he doesn't know, kishuhu koyis, when he is angry at their behavior, nifra mikulam, he penalizes, punishes all of them. Avolato, but you reboini shaloilom, lefonecho, before you, gluyois kolamachshovois, all of a person's thoughts are open to you, v'yodea ato miachoite, and you know who is this sinner. That's the Rashi. Now, looking at it simply, it would appear that what Rashi is out to explain is that we should not misunderstand Elekei Harucha is the God of spirits in the sense of nishomers, the life force of a person, rather in the sense of thoughts. Ruach does mean thought, as we find in the previous parasha in Shlach, where it says that all the spies came back from Eretz Yisrael with a bad report, except for Kolev, who spoke in praise of the land and in praise of Moshe Rabbeinu and urged the people to go forward to conquer the land, that it's a very good land. Now, when Hashem talks to Moshe about Kolev, he says that the other spies were punished on the spot. Kolev, because he had a ruach acheres, a different, what, a different neshama? No, a different thought, a different idea from the rest of them. He will proceed to Eretz Yisrael, and he and his children would inherit the land. So we see that the term ruach also has the meaning of thought. That's what Rashi wants to tell us, that over here, Lekeia Ruchais, the God of Ruchais, doesn't mean the God of Neshomis, but the God of thoughts, who knows the thoughts of all. How does Rashi know that this is the meaning here? Because the rest of the flow of the postik, will one man sin and you will be angry at the whole congregation? That's the rest of the postik. That flow only works if we understand the term ruchois as thoughts, that you, Hashem, know everybody's thoughts, so you know who sinned against you and who didn't, therefore you should not punish the entire congregation, only those who sinned. But if we're going to say that Elekei Ruchois means the God of all souls, from whom all souls issue forth from, so what's it got to do with the rest of the postik? One person sins and be angry at all the others. In what sense is he saying that? The Rebbe brings from the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban. The Ibn Ezra says that the term Kael over here means the one who is powerful. He has the ability to wipe them all out at once. And Elokei HaRuchos, the God of all spirits, means that all of life, everybody's spirit, everybody's soul is in his hands, and therefore, if he would want, he could wipe them all out together. The Ramban goes into the question of why, in fact, was there a subsequent Magepha, a plague, upon the rest of Klal Yisroel, and 14,000 people died. And the Ramban explains that the fact that the rest of the people went along with Korach's argument and they suspected Moshe Rabbeinu of that nepotism which Korach accused them of, that made them a maharer achar raboi, one who questions, one who doubts his own Rebbe. And for that reason, they're like maharer achar ashkina, those who question and doubt the Eibishter himself, and who they're people who ignore the words of a Novi, which is Moshe Rabbeinu. So the chayiv misa b'yedei shamayim, not at the hand of a court, of a human court, but the chayiv misa at the hand of shamayim, in heavenly court. So Moshe and Aaron wanted to protect the people, saying that it was Korach who caused the whole thing, who incited them all, so he alone should die, in order to publicize and to inform to the public that this is his punishment. And the Ramban continues that this is generally the way people who want to protect others do. They want to minimize the gravity of their sin and thereby minimize their punishment. The Ramban goes on with a comparison to the story of David HaMelech when there was a plague of among Klal Yisroel after David HaMelech counted them. At any rate, back to Rashi. The Rashi seems to disagree with this first comment of the Ibn Ezra that I quoted, and with the Ramban as well, and he says that what Hashem knows is that the thought of all the people, and in their thought, the only one who thought rebelliously was Korach and not the rest of the people. The rest of the people were just tagging along. So this is the Rashi Pshat. Now, that's also why Rashi continues that your Hashem's way is not like the way of a human king. You know who is the one who sinned, meaning that according to his Pirush, that Hashem knows the thoughts of people, so Hashem knows who is really sinful in his thought and intended to rebel. And that Rashi brings that because that proves his Pirush, that the meaning of Ruchos is thoughts. Now the Rebbe asked five questions on this Rashi. Number one, why is it necessary to explain this idea that Hashem knows the thoughts of people and therefore he should punish only those who are actually sinful? Why does he need the moshel? What does that moshel add in understanding and clarifying why Hashem should punish only this sinner? Secondly, if in fact the moshel does add some understanding of it, for which reason Rashi brings it, so why doesn't Rashi bring that same argument earlier in the story of Avraham Avinu, who was pleading for the people of Sodom when Hashem said that the wickedness of Sodom had come before him and he was going to destroy the city. So Avraham Avinu said, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you know, there are tzaddikim there. Will you destroy the wicked and the righteous together? Will the righteous suffer because of the wicked? So that's where Rashi should have brought the marshal, saying that Hashem is unlike a human king. A human king punishes collectively. But Hashem knows exactly who sinned and who doesn't. He knows everyone's mind, and therefore he doesn't punish collectively. Why does Rashi wait with that marshal until Parshas Korach, when he could have said it earlier in Chumash Bereishis, in Parshas Vayera, in the story of Stoim? Third of all, even a human king, he wouldn't just go out and punish collectively. He would appoint courts to investigate, to judge and to try, and to discover who really was the sinner and who rebelled against him and who didn't. Let's say it was impossible to get to the bottom of who it was through investigation, but an upright king still wouldn't just punish everybody collectively. So why is there an assumption that a human king would punish everybody? The fourth question is the diuk. As I said before when quoting Rashi, the marshal is of a king, shesorcho olov mitas medina, against whom part of the populace, sorcho, again, sorcho has to do with a foul smell, and it means a behavior which is foul. So that's the word Rashi starts with, that some of the populace, sorcho olov, acted badly, but he finishes with, you, Hashem, know who is the, not the Soireach, the one who acted badly, but the Choyte, this sinner. Why does he switch phrases or the term midstream? Finally, Rashi says that a human king doesn't know who is the sinner in this singular. Unlike what he starts with, is the marshal of a human king who has some of the populace, Stoireach, Sorcho Olov, who acted badly against him. So it wasn't one person, it was Mictas Medina, some of the populace. So those are the first questions on the five questions on the first Rashi. Now we'll move on. The second Rashi on the Pasuk. Rashi cites the word Ho'ish Echod, one man. And he explains, Hu Achoite, the one man, that is the sinner. Va'ato, and you, Hashem, Al Kol Oed HaTiktef, will you be angry at the whole congregation? Omar HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to Moshe, Yofa Omarto, you've spoken well. Ani Yodea, I know. Umaydia, I will make known mi choto mi loy choto, who sinned and who did not. That's the Rashi. So here too, the Rebbe asked five questions. First of all, what does Rashi explain more than the postuk by saying Ho'ish Echod? Yechto means Ho'ish Echod, the one man who achoite is the sinner. Seems to be the same as what the Postik says. And then Rashi adds, Va'ato, and you, Hashem, will be angry at the whole populace, at the whole congregation. That's what the Postik is saying. What is Rashi adding? Second of all, if Rashi intends to explain the following words in the postuk, Al Kol Ho'ed HaTiktoiv, then those words should have been part of the Rashi's citation from the postuk. Remember, Rashi comments only on the two words Ho'ish Echod. That's all he brings. But in fact, he's explaining the rest of the Pasuk. So why doesn't he bring those words in his citation? Remember the Rebbe's rule that Rashi brings from the Pasuk exactly what he's going to explain, no less and no more. Thirdly, what does Rashi mean by adding that Hashem said to Moshe, "Your former tov is spoken well, and I know and I will make known who sinned"? What's the point of that? Even more, as the response to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem said, "All of you, go away from the congregation, from the dwelling of Korach and Dothan and Aviram." In other words, all three of them are deserving of punishment. So Hashem is not agreeing with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, "Ho'ish echod yechter," is one person who sinned, and Hashem is saying, "No, it's these three, Korach, Dothan, Aviram." So how can you say Yofa Marta if you've spoken well? Finally, when Rashi says that Hashem said to Moshe, you've spoken well, I know and I will make known who sinned. So what's the point of I know? It would seem that it's only that Hashem will make known who sinned by telling everybody to go away and having those three and their families destroyed in that earth-swallowing punishment. Not only that, Rashi adds these words. His source is in Medrash Tanchuma and in Bamidbor Rabba, but there it doesn't say those words. Rashi adds them. So those are the five questions on the second Rashi. So we have five questions on the first, five questions on the second, and they are specific questions. But now the Rebbe asks a general question on the whole idea. We find before that there are a whole lot of people who rose up against Moshe. There were 250 people, and Moshe spoke to Korach and his whole band, and he rebuked them, "Ato v'chol adotcho, you Korach and your whole band." And Rashi says that it was already the fourth sin, Stirchoin Revi, that Klal Yisroel had committed. There was Egel, there was Meraglim, when the people rejected Hashem's wish that they enter Eretz Yisrael, and they said, "We're going to die and at the hand of all these giants that we're going to face when we try to take over Eretz Yisrael, so we wish we never left Mitzrayim." That was the second sin. Then there was the Misoininim, those who complained about the Mon. This was already the fourth sin that they were involved with, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was so crestfallen, he didn't know what to do. Unlike in the other situations where he acted decisively, for example, in the case of the Egel, he breaks the luchas, he comes down from the mountains, he puts people on trial for those who served the Egel. So he acted very decisively. Why here was he suddenly weak? And Rashi explained that because this was their public fourth sin, Stirchoin Revi. This was their fourth bad behavior. So it's clear from the whole context that it's not only one person who sinned, it's a whole lot. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu saying Ho'ish Echod Yechet? So it is but one man who sinned. So the Rebbe begins to explain. There's a difference between Sorach or Sorchu or Sirchoin, which, as I explained before, means a bad behavior, a foul behavior, versus Achet, thin. Korach was the thinner. The other people were swept along with his promises and his blandishments and his enticements, his seduction that he promised them power or kahuna, priesthood. Korach was behind the whole thing. So, in fact, Rashi brought before that there seems to be a disproportionate number of people from the tribe of Reuben involved in this rebellion. Why was it? So he explains, Rashi explains that because the tribe of Reuben camped right next to the family of Korach, so it was Korach who slept them along, who dragged them along into this rebellion. So again, their behavior was wrong, sorcholov. It was a foul behavior, but you can't call them the sinner. Who is the sinner? One person. Not that Moshe Rabbeinu wants to exonerate everybody for going along with Korach. You can't be exempt from guilt just because it was someone else who talked you into doing the Aveda. You have to be strong and firm in your mind, and you have to believe in Hashem and in His prophets, so you won't be swept along by someone else's arguments. But nevertheless, the people weren't the ones who felt that Moshe Rabbeinu was doing something wrong and that he wasn't carrying out Hashem's wishes. He was acting out of nepotism. That was just one person, Korach. That's why Rashi brings the moshel, that it's a moshel to a melech shesor cholov mikstas medino. A part of the populace acted badly against him. He wants to emphasize that their behavior was foul, disgusting to the king. But not that they intended to rebel against him. Especially not that they rebelled in such a way that they would deserve to die as a punishment. But from the fact that a part of the population acted badly against the king, so that it would make sense that there's someone who incites them and led them to this behavior. And that person is the choite, he's the sinner. He's the one who's actually rebelling against the king. And that's why Rashi says that when part of the population acts badly against the king doesn't know who is the choite, who is the sinner, in the singular. Not who are the sinners, they're not all sinners. But there must be a sinner here who incites everybody else to act badly against the king. But the people, the rest of the populace, they're not choitim, they're not sinners, but sorcholov. They acted badly. So, the king, who doesn't know who is the sinner and who just acted badly, so he punishes them all. Because, after all, everybody acted badly, disrespectfully toward the king. It's not that they're all innocent except for this one sinner. They all acted badly. So they're deserving of punishment, but he punished them collectively and equally without distinguishing between the one sinner and the rest who merely acted in a way of sorcho. But you, Hashem, you know everybody's thoughts. You know who intended to rebel against you and who was just dragged into it by some promises or some arguments of the sinner. So would you be angry at the entire populace? You're not like a human king. And Rashi puts these arguments of Moshe Rabbeinu, he fits them into the words of the pasuk in the second Rashi. Ho'ish echod yecheto, the one person who ha'choite, he is the actual sinner, not Sorcho Alov. And Va'ato, you Hashem, who is different from the flesh and blood king. Al kol o'edo tiktoif, will you be angry at the whole population? This is not what Rashi is adding. Rashi is just citing the words of the pasuk. Remember, before the question was that if Rashi is explaining the words of the pasuk further, Va'ato al kol o'edo tiktoif, why doesn't he bring them in his dibra maschil, in his citation, at the beginning of the Pirush? No, Rashi is explaining Moshe Rabbeinu's argument with the words of the pasuk. The Rebbe proves his point. The Rebbe is very careful about the language of Rashi. And he looks at the printed editions, and the Rebbe argued that very often printers or editors corrupted the text of Rashi. Some of them thought they're being helpful, they're explaining, but in the process, they actually messed up the intention of Rashi's explanation. So, for example, they made, in many prints, they made an extra Dibra Maschil, an extra piece of Rashi, and the words, Al kol o'edo tiktoi va'ato, and you, Hashem, Al kol o'edo tiktoi. So the Rebbe, that's wrong, and he shows that in the very first two prints printed in the 1400s, and also in manuscript editions of Rashi, which preceded the time of the printing press, the Rebbe would look through many, many, many of these different editions of Rashi, and he shows that in all of them, these early editions, it's all one piece of Rashi. So what's Rashi doing? He's using the words of the pasuk to explain Moshe Rabbeinu's argument. So that's what Moshe argued. So now we understand why he brought the moshel. In the moshel we have the distinction between those who sorchu alav, who acted badly, disrespectfully to the king, and those who rebelled the choite. So Hashem knows who's who, unlike a human being. A human king who doesn't know who's who. Now, what does Hashem say in response? The end of this second Rashi. So Hashem answered, Yofe omarto, you Moshe Rabbeinu have spoken well. What does it mean you have spoken well? You are correct to say that the sinner should not have the same punishment as everybody else, or everybody else should not be punished equally with the actual sinner, even though they behaved wrongly, but they should not meet the same end as the actual sinner. However, it's not like you, Moshe, say that you know it's one person who sinned. No. Ani yodea, that's the language of Rashi. I, said Hashem, no, I know differently from you. You seem to know that it's only one person, Korach, who sinned. I know that it's Korach and Dathan and Aviram who sinned. They were actually instigators, co-instigators together with Korach. They weren't just dragged along. And therefore, separate yourself from Korach, Dathan, and Aviram, and they will die in the earthquake that followed, that swallowed them up in the earth. That is the explanation of the Rashi up to this point. Now the Rebbe turned to the lesson in Avodas Hashem, as the Rebbe often explained that in Rashi contains Yena Shel Torah, the wine of Torah, the pnimius of Torah, and part of that is the explanation of how to apply the events or ideas in the pasuk, which Rashi explains, based on his explanation, how do we apply it in Avodas Hashem of everybody? Says the Rebbe, we see in the parsha that Moshe Rabbeinu sent to call Dathan and Aviram to talk things over with them. When did he send those messengers to call them? After they had spoken out against Moshe. Not only did they speak out against Moshe, but when Moshe Rabbeinu sent a messenger to call them, they answered with tremendous brazenness and chutzpah, "Is it not enough that you took us out of Egypt with such a wonderful country that you're going to make us die in the desert and you want to have power over us too?" So what a tremendous chutzpah the Rebbe brings in a footnote from the Gemara in Moed Kotten, which derives from here the way the Beis Din acts when they send a messenger of the court to summon someone to a Din Torah, and that the person summoned, instead of coming, talks with chutzpah to the messenger of the court. So we learn from here that he's chayiv nido, he deserves excommunication. So this chutzpah of Dothan and Aviram toward Moshe Rabbeinu when he sent a message to ask them to talk together peacefully is at the height of chutzpah. And that indicates that they were participating in this rebellion not because they were dragged along by Korach, but because they were the choitim too. They were the sinners. After all that, Moshe Rabbeinu still judges them favorably, and he uses every possible loophole to exonerate them, saying that there's just one sinner, that's Korach, and that even they, Dothan and Aviram, were also dragged along by Korach's incitements. That's the way Moshe Rabbeinu behaved. Now, each one of us has an element of Moshe Rabbeinu within us, because Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya Perek Mem Beis, is one of the shepherds of Klal Yisroel, and the shepherd means he feeds, he nourishes the flock, and likewise a spiritual shepherd nourishes the soul of each Jew. And there's a Moshe in each of us, and therefore we ought to behave that way toward our fellow Yid, that even when he does the most egregious things and there's mamish no way it seems to find favor for him, to judge him favorably, even then we must look and search until we're able to find some good about him, and then do everything that we can in order to restore him back to the good and straight path, to bring him to tshuva.